Isn't it amazing how God made us? Our text for today is from Psalm 139. Pastor Dave read it a little bit earlier. I'd like you to read it with me, all right? You know, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You know, I was thinking about this, that God knit us together in our mother's womb. So I decided to do a little bit of research on what goes on inside of our mother's womb. Do you realize that when you were in your mother's womb for only 3 months, 12 short weeks, that you were about the length of my thumb, about 2 inches and 2 1/4 inches? Do you know that when you were in your mother's womb for 12 weeks and you were only that big, that you were fully formed, that every vital bodily system, every organ was present? Do you know that when you were as big as my thumb, that you had a thumbnail and fingernails and toenails? Do you know that if we would watch an ultrasound of you, that we could watch you moving your arms and your legs, and maybe even doing a backflip or two just to entertain your parents? Do you know that when you were only that big, that you had a thumbprint and fingerprints and toe prints fully formed? That means that when you were 12 weeks in your mother's womb, 1 trimester, 3 months, 2 1/4 inches, that you were unique and one of a kind. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and so are you. Now, a few weeks ago, we were talking about what to do when we do Bible study. And I couldn't think today, as I was thinking about this text, what a great text to start our new sermon series. Today on Creation Sunday, we're starting a new sermon series to follow up on the one that we have been doing. All right? This summer, we've been talking about how God is the great I Am, and all the characteristics and traits of this God, and all the good news that He showers upon our lives as the great I Am. And now we're talking about who I am, who you are in Christ. And today we're talking about the fact that I am, you are, fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, back to the Bible study. We talked about how when we read the Word of God, there's 3 questions we need to find the answers to. The first question is, what was God saying to people back then? Second question, what is God people saying to people today in 2018? And the third question is, so what? What does that mean for my life? What difference does it make? So as we look at this text, we're looking at what did God say to the people back then? What was He saying? He was saying, first of all, there's a God. And there's a God. Second thing He was saying is, this God created you. The third thing He was saying is, this God formed you to be unique and individual. Just like a knitter goes and picks out the fabric, the yarn, the color, the texture, the size, and with a plan in mind starts putting that yarn together knot by knot, twist of the needle after twist of the needle, until that booty or that sweater or that afghan or whatever it is that that creator had in mind finishes the project. That's the kind of care that God put into forming you in your mother's womb. And the last thing we learn is that God doesn't make junk. The Bible doesn't say it in those words exactly, but look at the last part. It says, your works are wonderful. They're magnificent. You are incredible. And that's exactly the answer to the second question. He was saying that to the people back then, and He says the very same thing to us. There's a creator. There's a God who created you, who made you unique and special and one of a kind in your mother's womb. And he doesn't make junk. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So now the last question, so what? What difference does that make in my life? Well, friends, I'm going to tell you, so what? I'm going to tell you what difference this makes in your life. And this comes not from Tim Lindemann, it comes from God's Word. Now, there's a lot of things I could say, but today I'm going to cover three things. The first is this, that God gives us value. The Bible tells us over and over again how unique and special we are. In the text today, we find out that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And this very same psalmist who wrote Psalm 139 also wrote Psalm 8. And one night he went out and he looked at the nighttime skies and he looked up there and he couldn't help but exclaim, "When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have set in place, what is man that you're mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? And yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and you crowned him with glory and honor." You hear that, folks? You are the crown of God's creation, the apple of his eye, his pride and joy. You are uniquely his, fearfully and wonderfully made. And you don't have to take David's word for it. If you look at the creation story, we hear about God saying, "Let us make man in our image." Let us make man in our image. In other words, you were made to reflect who God is, to love and to be loved, to serve and to be served, to care and to be cared for. You were made to reflect who God is. And we might look at this and say, "Oh, okay, I get it. All right. This is kind of like a broad brushstroke, you know? This is talking about mankind." No, folks. God gets personal. And in Acts chapter 17, he says this, "God himself gave every man life and breath and everything. And he determined the periods and the boundaries of his dwelling place." In other words, folks, you are not just here formed and knitted by God's hands in your mother's womb. You're not just uniquely made to have this appearance and this personality and this gift of a set of gifts and abilities that you have, but you are made to be here at this time and this place. God chose for you to be at this, on this earth, in your niche, your corner of the world, at this time and this place. And he says to you, "I have plans for you." Which leads us to the second point, that God gives me purpose. We just went through it. What's our purpose? To be the image of God. To reflect a little bit of who God is within the lives of other people. And what do we learn about God? Well, as we read on in Scripture, we find out that God is love. Our job is to be loved. Our job is to love others. To know the love of God and to share that love of God with other people. That's what it means, part of what it means, to be made in the image of God. But as we look on in Scripture, we find out that there's a little bit more to it than that. We're made to walk with God. As we look through the story of creation, we see that God made mankind to live in relationship, that loving relationship. And that first relationship is a vertical relationship between God and man, his creatures, the crown of his creation, and between man and God. We see that One day, the Lord was coming out to walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. And I was thinking about that. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Can you imagine what it was like to worship God in the Garden of Eden? I mean, they didn't have a church building like this. They didn't have a set time for worship services at 8 o'clock and 10:30. It was just hanging out to walk with God. And I was trying to think what that must have been like to be able to walk with God. Can you imagine the spontaneous laughter? The lively conversation? Trying to get to know the mind of God? The spontaneity of it all. Can you imagine that maybe they can even just break out in song, singing together? We used to do that in the car with my family when we'd go on road trips. We'd just start singing. And man, we'd sing for miles. Can you imagine doing that with God? Incredible. David describes it like this. Read it with me. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are this people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. I wonder if the psalmist didn't have the Garden of Eden in mind. Just walking with God. Yes, this might describe what we do here on Sunday mornings, but folks, I have a feeling that the psalmist was thinking about walking with God on a daily basis. To enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. To be able to sing and to rejoice in God. To know the heart of God. Incredible to think about. So that first relationship is a vertical relationship between God and man. But there's also a second relationship, a vertical relationship, a horizontal one, between man and God's creation. On the very first day after he finished creating the world and then resting on the seventh day, God, we're told, placed man in the garden and he gave him two jobs. First one was to work the garden and to keep it, to care for it. And the second one is to be fruitful and multiply. God involved us in his creative work to be able to love God's creation, to love one another. And once again, folks, I don't want you to be thinking, oh, well, yeah, that's kind of one of those things that happens on a broad stroke kind of thing. All mankind. No, he's talking to you. When I used to work with the youth, I used to be able to relate to a guy by the name of Jeremiah in the Bible. And the reason that I related to Jeremiah is because Jeremiah was only a teenager when God came to him and said, I want you to be a prophet to my people. And Jeremiah's like, oh, wait. But I'm just a youth. And God said to him, no, before you were formed, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. Folks, you have been set aside by God for a purpose. He has not only knit you in your mother's womb. He's not only placed you on this earth at this time and this place, but he has given you a purpose. He has asked you to share his love with the people in your little niche of this world, in your little corner of this earth, with the people that only you know and nobody else in this place may know. He wants you to share the love of God in your family, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your school. He set you apart. Now, there's something about every philosophy and every religion known to mankind. They try to answer three questions. The first question is this. Where did I come from? Well, God tells us exactly where we come from. He answers that question beautifully. He says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The God of the universe, the God who made all of that, made me. That's where we came from. The second question every philosophy or religion tries to answer is, what's my purpose? Why am I here? Well, we just learned that God has given us a purpose. We are here to share God's love. We are here to walk with God in relationship. We are here to walk with our God's creation in a loving relationship as well. And He has put each one of us on this earth for a specific purpose. But what about that last question? The last question is, where do I go? What happens after this life? But certainly there's got to be more to life than this, doesn't there? Face it, folks, we all have that question, don't we? There's got to be more than life from this point that I was born to this point that I die, the 60, 70, 80, 90 years, whatever it might be. There's got to be more to life than this. This life is filled with all kinds of troubles and tribulations and doubts and worries. There's got to be more. Well, folks, God tells us that we have a hope. He says we're eternal. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that God is, in His time, has made everything beautiful, and He's put eternity into the hearts of man. Folks, there is more to life than there is than this earth. There's more to life than what's happened between our birth and our death. You and I were never intended to die. When God made us, He formed us from the dust of the ground, and He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and that life was to continue and never end. We are the ones that introduced death. God never intended us to be in a circle of life where we're born, we live, we die to give life to something else so that it can be born and live and die to give life to something else. Folks, God never intended for you and me to be a pile of fertilizer. He intended us for us to live. And so He's given us a living hope. Because it broke God's heart to think that He would be separated from His creation forever. It broke God's heart to see us decide to live by somebody else's design, our own, rather than to live by His design. It broke His heart to see us introduce death into this world by following our own plans rather than following His plans. By introducing sin into this world rather than to live in perfection. It broke His heart to think that His creation would be full of disarray and discord and death and decay forever. And so He did something about it. Our Creator, our Heavenly Father, loved you and me so much that He sent His Son, His only Son, into this world, into our mess, into our disarray and discord and death and decay, and then to take all of our pain and our suffering and our failures and our sin on His shoulders and take Him to the cross and suffer them so that we don't have to. On that cross, our Lord Jesus suffered our death, our punishment, our eternal separation from God, so that we don't have to. Why? Because He wants to live in that vertical relationship with us forever. That's how much He loves you. That's how much He cares for you. He's not only given you life, but He's given you new life. And He answers all those questions. And He says, where did I come from? Where did you come from? I made you. I knit you together just the way I want you. What's your purpose? For me to love you, and for you to love me, and for you to love one another. What's your destination? To hang out with me. And to walk with me in the cool of the day for eternity. So folks, I'd like to invite you to pray with me. The very prayer that King David prayed in Psalm 139. Let's pray. O Lord, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven together in the depths of the earth. You saw my unformed substance, and in your book were written every one of my days, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Oh, how precious are your thoughts, O God. How vast the sum of them. Lord God, we thank you that you give us value, that our value can be found in a loving God, the creator of the universe, who formed us, made us, and loves us, and desires nothing more than to give us his love, your love, and to help us to love others. Help us to find purpose in serving you and serving others of your creation. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us the promise of eternal life, that we know that we not only have life on this earth, but we have life eternal, and that eternity will be in your presence forever, where we can sing your praises, laugh together with you, and walk in the cool of the day. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Please help us to love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.